Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
it's you living.
We all under attack,
it's you different.
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner. Gang got their sights on him, on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my appeals there, they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, mom.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
Yo, may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with rikers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
All right, Beth. Yeah, walk with me.
Come take a walk with me, grab my hand. Let me school you, little bro, make you understand. You gotta run the streets to become a man. Just stay in your own lane, you could buy some land. I see the fire in your eyes. Don't fall into the trap, in the trap you can die. So many soldiers stand down in the sky. Pay attention to the vibe, that's what's keeping you alive. Have patience, just talk to me. Get out of line, you get chalked for free. I won't let you fall if it's up to me. And they say misery like companies. Don't let them put you down on companies. You know I got your back, you look up to me. It's okay to show love, but cautiously. It's okay for men to cry, but not normally. Let's start.
Yeah. Walk with me. Walk with me.
Just relax, nigga, take a seat. You be acting all hard, you ain't from the street. Got a good family and somewhere to sleep. Nigga, I was house to house with nowhere to eat. I don't get you niggas, these shoes can't fit you niggas. You can play it off, looking in your eyes, see you mask off. Pretending to be a G until they pull your card. Yo, you still young, don't take the road where I came from. Ain't nothing there, couple of holes, a sippin' beer. switching up, pose with the pole, ain't playing fair. Get up off that circle, you ain't earning shit with them squares. Before you get caught up and then half the mistake is there. Find a sense of tingling, feeling all in the air. And keep God close with the post and make a prayer.
Yo, this record for all your loved ones, man. Don't ever steer them in the wrong direction. Being real is a form of respect. Respect yourself.
Let's go, man. Being real is being genuine. Yourself.
Testing. Okay, we live.
I hope everybody can hear me. Man, this was a crazy start to a show.
I was sitting here jamming and listening to music. And my sister called me and said, "What happened to you?" I said, "It's 8 o'clock already." I didn't even realize that it was 8 o'clock. And I can't believe that just happened. I hope everybody can hear me out there. Text or inbox, I hope. I got 3 laptops in front of me, a tablet, 3 cell phones, and a mic. All the shit in front of me. I got to be in control of everything. Before we start the show, it's going to be a good show. I'm feeling good. I want to get to unwind. Well, I only unwind once a week on Friday. I unwind. I let my hair down and I do me. So tonight I might be a little wired for sound. I might be out. If you're sensitive, you don't want to be in my house tonight. You afraid of real talk? You don't need to be. Well, okay. Somebody said they can't hear me that good. Let me see what's up. Adjust the sound. A little bit. Testing. Hope you can hear me better now. Somebody must have. Let me see. Oh, bear with me. I'm getting the sound right. Oh, people are having trouble hearing me. Let me see. Give me a minute. There's always something. Testing. How about now? Testing. How about now? Can you hear me, testing? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I'll try to talk a little bit louder. I don't know what the problem is, but anyway, we got a good show ahead for everybody. I'm gonna try to talk more into the microphone for everybody to hear me. We got the crazy topics tonight. We got the Lisa experience coming through tonight. She actually called me and told me it was 8 o'clock. I didn't even know. 8 o'clock came so fast that I didn't realize it was 8 o'clock. I see the people on the phone lines. I gotta remind y'all on the phone lines that if you wanna go live, you have to press 1. If you wanna go live, I wanna bring people in. Into the podcast tonight. Oh, somebody said hearing every other word. What's going on? Let me see. We have technical difficulty. Testing. How about now? Can you hear me now? Is the sound better? Somebody inbox me or text me. Let me know how the sound is now.
might have been this morning. Testing. How's the sound now? How's the sound? Somebody inbox me and let me know how the sound is. Much better. Okay, thank you. I think that was because I had something hooked up. I don't know. So anyway, thank you. Like I said, everybody that's here, you know what I mean, to have a good time. That's what we're going to have tonight. Like I said, we got the Lisa experience coming through. And we got the four crazy topics. Like, everybody interested in this one topic I got about being cheated on. So we're going to try to do that topic, and hopefully we could get some participation from some listeners. Hopefully. I'm really hoping that we can get some people to participate. Damn, I can't believe that I'm sitting right here. I didn't know it was 8 o'clock. If I start talking and you can't hear me, somebody text me or somebody inbox me and let me know, you know, what's going on. Because I don't understand. Maybe I got too many things. But thanks to my sister. She's on the line. Thank you. Thanks for saving me for that. That kind of make me remember. Let me see. That memory of time. Anybody can hear that music? Anybody can hear Rick James? Sound is a little low. Okay, that was Rick James. Ready for the show? This killing my hypeness. I was ready. I was amped up. Now I gotta deal with this. Well, God working mysterious ways. Maybe it's meant to be. To slow my ass down. So I'm going to slow my ass down. That's what that's meant to do, meant to be. That's what I'm going to do. We got some crazy topics in store for this evening. I got a couple of stories I want to tell. I want people to get down and help me out with these topics tonight. Some that were sent in, some from me. You know, I want people call in and participate. Let's see how this thing goes. Everybody on the line, I see you pressing one. Just bear with me. Lisa experience, and gotta give me time to try to work on these wires. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Well, and I'm glad you got yourself together.
Did you hear Rick James playing?
It was very low. Just heard like a little bit of it. But at least your voice is better now.
My voice is better right now?
Yeah, your voice is better. When it first came on, you was like in and out.
So what happened with that?
It was too excited. Well,
Maybe I got too much stuff plugged up. Who knows? Anyway. What you got for us tonight? Everybody, this is Lisa Experience. What you got for us tonight?
Oh, so tonight, my topic is On My Way Back. I'm on my way back. It was a tough week this week. It seemed like if anything could go wrong, it went wrong. Fell into Monday, and it seemed like every day something was hitting me with a problem, a task, just didn't stop. You know, like sometimes you just have one day that's a bad day. I had every day from Monday all the way to today. It was a bad day. But I took it in stride because I kept saying, you know, sometimes when bad things keep going on, you have to think about it. It's a good thing because when you're not being messed with, you're not doing the right thing. So when you study getting messed with and get tested, then you know that you must be on the right track because it's something that's trying to prevent you from getting where you want to be. So I had to take it every day and deal with it, find out why it was happening, worked it out. And some things I didn't work out, but I had to learn how that the 12 steps would have said, the things that you can't change, but the things that you can change, you change. And like I said, Sunday was good. I was working it out. And then Monday, all hell broke loose. Tuesday didn't get no better. Wednesday was worse. Thursday, impossible. Today, ridiculous. You know what I mean? Just things just falling down on you. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes something happens and then you think about it. You know, as you all know that, I moved. So I went to my old apartment to, you know, because my mail is not coming yet. So I went to go check on, did I get any mail? And when I went to the mailbox, my name was taken off. And I said, wow, I just like turned the keys in. And as I was driving home, I said, see, that's how life is. You know, you think that you're important or that, you know, people can't do without you and you always got to be right there. But it taught me a valuable lesson as I was walking, as I was riding home. I was like, nobody's promised anything. Nobody is dependable. Nobody can't be replaced. That's what we got to do in life now, you know, the way the world is. We got to remember that we're the most important thing and we got to take care of us. So that means that if something's bashing your head in or things are crashing in or things that seem like they ain't getting right, we're on our way back. We're on our way back. But we're not going to let that happen. We're not going to let ourselves stay in that valley. You know what I mean? I was in a valley for a week. But tomorrow starts only a new day, but also a new month. And I'm hoping that this new month bring in the things that I should have got this month. And I'm not saying that I didn't need the things that happened to me this month, because I did, because each one taught me a lesson. But I'm on my way back, and that's the way you have to be. You have to be looking forward. You have to look forward to something different. Because if you don't look forward, all you're going to do is keep looking backward and getting depressed and keep leaning on whatever happened and can't get out of it and can't push the door open. You know what I mean? You got to let it go. So all them things that happened, I took what I could take out of each one of them, and I moved on. I woke up this morning. I couldn't find my keys. I always leave my keys in a certain place, right on the key rack, every day. For years, woke up, got ready to walk out the door, keys wasn't where they were supposed to be. Time was moving. It was time for me to leave and go to work. Couldn't find my keys. And I know a lot of people don't believe this stuff, but one time a lady told me many years ago, she said, when you lose something, you're supposed to say, please, Saint Anthony, help me find whatever. So as I just couldn't find my keys, I said, Saint Anthony, please let me find my keys. And I walked in my bedroom, and it hit me. Well, maybe you left your keys in your pants you had on yesterday. And then I tore the dirty clothes hamper up, and there were my keys laying inside my pocket. You know what I mean? So it's always light at the end of the road. On My Way Back. That's what it's called. On Your Way Back. Look forward to what's coming and leave everything else back. Because we all live in a time that things are going to be happening. We're going to be short with money. We're going to not have money. Things ain't going to go right. We can't wait till we get paid. Things are due. We don't have enough. We don't have nobody to ask. There's nobody out there that's got our back. We struggling. We got to take up for other people what they not doing. On Our Way Back. A new day. A new journey. A new road. A new path. A new door. We got to leave all that stuff behind, because everything that brings us down or want to take us off our road that we're leading to is just things that want to hold us back from what we really are searching to get to. And see, the life I'm living now, I want to get everything that's coming to me. I don't want to wait no more. I don't want to look in the back of me and say, no, it's not going to happen because of that, whatever. No, new attitude, new person, new mindset. Get it moving. You know what I mean? Look at it, deal with it, and say, you know what? I'm going to tell you, too, what I did. Because somebody also told me another thing to do. After I cleaned my old apartment out and I looked around, and somebody said, you should always think things when you go and leave. So I went through every room and I said, thank you for the memories in here. Thank you for all the meals that I cooked for my family and myself. Thank you for that and all the company I had sitting in my living room and time I spent with my kids and my private, for all the mornings that I woke up and I got a nice hot or cold shower. Thank you for all the days I woke up and I was warm or I had air conditioning. You know what I mean? Or I felt safe. You know what I mean? You gotta thank the things that was in your life. And then as I walked out the door, I thank God that he gave me a chance to be living there and learn whatever I needed to learn when I was there, that I could move on to where I'm going now and hope that it bring me better things. See, sometimes leaving things behind is not a bad thing. It just means that you're not going to forget it, but you're going to move on because you want to see what else is coming. On My Way Back to where I need to be. So that's my thought for tonight. I hope everyone have a good night. I hope everyone is looking forward to a new month, new ideas, new mindset, new friends, new jobs. Whatever your heart desires, I hope that everyone receives the things that they deserve, because everybody's deserving, worthy of getting better. You can't always be staying back here and not doing good. God wants all of us to have the abundance in life. That's the type of God he is. Moving forward. Getting back on track. Thank you.
I gotta always throw that applause in there. Cause it's serious. That's a true statement. Getting back on track. Cause a lot of people is off track, but a lot of people is right on the edge. They call that on the ledge. If you take one step the wrong way, you could fall off the ledge. Or if you take one step the right way, you'll be in the right direction. So it's not only like on the way back. It's like some people, they just need to move in the right direction. One step. And then two steps and three steps, like you were saying. It's a lot of things like if people don't believe, people got to believe in God. I'm going to tell you, it's strange things that go on in the world. Like tonight, I was hyped up. I was amped up. I was really amped up. I had a lot of anger in me, and I was drinking, and I was hyping myself up. I wanted to talk about a lot of stuff. I wanted to talk about a lot of people indirectly, because you really can't mess with a person with a pen, like somebody who could write books and articles or blogs. You can't mess with people like that. You can't mess with nobody with a microphone, with a podcast. Because, you know what I mean, you just can't do it, because they can get on the podcast and they can air you out all the dirty laundry or whatever they choose to do. And I had so many subliminal messages that I wanted to send tonight. And then when the show started, first, I didn't even know it was 8 o'clock. My sister called me. That fucked my head up. And then second, I couldn't get the sound right. So everything I wanted to do in the beginning, it got thrown off. Everything that I called direct messages to direct people, everything got threw off. Now, me, I'm a believer in self-conscious. I'm a believer that it's people on this earth that got more powers than other people. I believe it's people walking around out here on the earth that got more powers than other people got. We don't know who they is. It might be somebody you work with. It might be somebody at the store. It might be somebody at the grocery store that, you know what I mean? And they might just be here for other reasons than we know. And I don't know if it's all about believing in God or, but all I know, I had an epiphany. And the whole way I wanted this show to go, it just all swifted and changed into a whole nother demeanor and just a whole nother way. And I think that was God. I really do. Like us podcasters, we get up here and we promote our podcast, and we promote it on Facebook, and we promote it on Twitter and TikTok, and we tell our friends, and we tell a friend to tell a friend. We do all that stuff, and then sometimes you don't even get participation for the listeners, and that's okay. They might just want to call and listen. But sometimes it's not okay, because you start believing that it's ulterior motives why somebody want to listen but they don't want to press one. I'm just keeping it real. Or somebody want to click on a link instead of calling in, which they can do what they want to do. Because like I said earlier, when I checked the sound bar, it's over 2,000 people who have listened to this show. Not at one time, don't get me wrong, over a period of 15 months. And like I said, that's not counting phone calls. That's counting people who clicked on the link. So that's a lot of people believing in something or wanting to listen to something. But I'm here to say tonight that it's other powers out here. It's other things that's going on in this world that we don't know about, that we're not aware of. And we got to be aware of. We got to be aware of it. And you got to believe in something. Believe in God. Believe in yourself. Or believe in whatever you want to believe in. I was thinking about this. This is crazy. I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but I'm going to talk about it. Biblical stuff. And I know the new people that's listening, they say, oh, I thought we was going to come in here and talk about some topics about sex and this and that and this and that. We're going to get to that, but I got to get this off my chest. I found out a long time. Well, I heard this, or I found out about this. That I might be, if I'm wrong, somebody could correct me because I don't know too much about the Bible, just a little bit. But I know that, like when Jesus was on the cross, and there was two other men with him, one on each side, and one of the men said to Jesus, "Yo, if you the Son of God, you know, then call on your God right now." He was taunting Jesus. And he was telling him, "Call your God now and tell him to save you. If you the Son of God, you know, call him and tell him to save you." And then the other guy that was on the other side of Jesus, they was all on crosses or stakes, nailed to crosses and stuff. Nailed to stakes, really. So the other guy said, he stopped the other guy from talking, and he told Jesus that he asked Jesus. He told him, he said, "Yo, I want to go with you, you know, to the paradise. Like after death, I want to go with you. You know what I mean? I believe that you're the Son of Man." And then Jesus said to the guy, you will be with me in paradise," I guess after they got killed and all that. But why I'm saying all this, the moral of the story, or why I'm saying all this, because it just took that one guy to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And that's how we all is out here in this world. Sometimes you just need one person to believe in you. And I don't even know if that story coincides with what I'm saying, but I hope everybody understands what I'm saying. Sometimes you just need one person to believe in you. Sometimes you just need one person to uplift you instead of always being shot down and dealing with hate and envy and stuff like that. And that's how you become a winner. When people uplift you, when people believe in you, that's how you become a winner. And that's how you become on another level. And that's how I feel. I feel like when I was writing books, I was winning. And then I started writing movies, and then I was winning. And now I'm doing a podcast, and I'm trying to do the same thing. I'm going to win. So whether it's one person listening or 1,000 people listening, I'm going to do the same thing that I'm always doing, because I was gifted with a gift of gab, and I was able to talk to people. But more importantly, I was gifted with other gifts. Writing, reading. And that's why I could say tonight I had an epiphany. And I hope other people had epiphanies before. Because I definitely had an epiphany tonight. Because I was going to shift this whole show into a whole nother realm, into a whole different thing. But something happened, and I wasn't able to do that. So anyway, let me see. Let's go to something else. I'm on some whole other shit now. 3058, you hear me?
Good evening. Hello.
The number one caller, the number one supporter. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you feeling?
I was feeling too good, but I got sober. I had technical
difficulties. You know, that sounds like you need to drink myself.
You need a drink? Yeah, sometimes everybody. I was having technical difficulty. I was late for the show. Everything was going on crazy. And it just shifted my whole demeanor, my whole attitude.
You wasn't late. You was right on time.
Oh, no. If my sister would have called me, I was going to be late. I'm telling you, I was going to be late. But anyway, how you doing tonight?
I'm okay. You're
Is that
laying
you
back
breathing
chilling.
Like that? Are you
no.
breathing hard? Is that you?
Oh, no. Not me.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. 4785, you here?
Yeah.
Is you sleeping? That's you?
Did she throw it off?
No, that's not me.
Oh, okay. That must be you calling.
No,
you must be breathing hard.
Nah,
you breathing hard?
No.
I said calling number one, you must be breathing hard.
No, I'm not, because I ain't doing nothing. I'm just laying here.
Okay, I don't hear it right now.
I wish I was doing something to breathe hard.
Hey, yo, you know what happened? I had a topic that was driving everybody crazy. I don't know if you've seen it or you heard it, but it was about what makes you think you shouldn't be cheated on. Because, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, we found out that Nia Long was cheated. I don't know if you know Nia Long, but everybody, she's an actress.
Yeah.
And then I said, let me do a little research, and I found out that J-Lo was cheated on, Beyonce, Nia Long, and Halle Berry. I mean, the list goes on and on, but those are like four beautiful women I could think about. So I've been asking a lot of females, like, what do they think or why, you know, why would a man cheat on women as beautiful as that? And I got different responses. What you think would make a man cheat on a woman like Halle Berry?
I have no idea. He's a man. He's a man.
You think that's stupid?
I can't speak for a man. I can't speak for a man.
Because, you know, you would think that, like, women like that would be able to keep a man from cheating, but I guess not.
No, they can't keep the man from cheating.
Yeah,
no.
Like, you would wonder, and you would wonder what would make somebody want to cheat. Like Jennifer Lopez. Or something. I don't know. I can't really figure that out.
The question is, why was she cheating best with a man? I can't answer for the man. I know why the woman would.
Oh, why a woman would cheat? Like with Denzel Washington or something?
No, see, Denzel don't appear. He's a good-looking man, but he don't do nothing for me. I'm weird, I'll tell you. Look,
so what celebrity would you like?
I like Samuel L. Jackson. To me, he's
Samuel
hot.
L. Jackson.
And to Samuel L. Jackson, you got that right. And here's another one, Snoop. I'm a Snoop fan. Now, if you tell me to name one of his music, I couldn't name it. It's just something about him.
Snoop Dogg.
Yep, he's not the best looking man, but it's just something about him. He's got that certain swag. I just love it.
And Samuel Jackson?
And Samuel Jackson, yep.
You got to, hey, that's your taste. That's your taste. You know? But... I had to get you in here because, you know, like, I also wanted to, like, you know, I always tell you thanks for supporting the show, but I like to tell you on air, too, to support, but thank you for supporting the show.
Oh, you know, you're more than welcome. I do it as long as I can do it, because going to come a time I won't be able to, so I'm going to do it as long as I can.
Right, right.
And all you listeners, help support. Donate, donate. It's going for a good cause. Keep the station running.
Yep, I preach that all the time.
Whether it's 50 cents, a dollar, anything is helpful, anything.
Amen.
Please support your brother.
Amen. You're right about that. Big time.
Yeah.
Somebody texted me and said they like the guy from Love and Basketball. People would text me and inbox me, but they won't press one. But anyway, hold on one sec. 4785, you still with us?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
What's going on? Yeah, I'm here.
You can hear me?
I was just wondering if you knew what you thought would make a man cheat on Halle Berry or Jennifer Lopez or somebody.
Oh, but I always kept telling, I always say the same thing over and over. You can't think like that. When a person cheat on a person, it's not about who they with. It's the person. That's that person's choice to cheat on whoever they with. Because you can have the best, but if you're not comfortable in your skin, or if you led by something that you see, it's not about them. Just like I said before, I was a cheater. It had nothing to do with who I was with. It was, I felt inadequate with myself and wanted more, and I went out there and I did what I wanted to do. You know what I mean? It had nothing to do with who I was living with or who I was with. It had to do with me. You know what I mean? Because I always feel like if you don't want to be with a person, then leave. You know what I mean? Just leave. But the person I was with, I cared about, it's just I wanted more for myself.
Right. Right.
Which I know it sounds weird, but that's why I cheated. You know what I mean? And let me tell you, people got to realize it's dogs out there. But for you to really cheat on somebody, it takes a lot. Because you know that once you cheat, you can never go back to whatever relationship you had with that person. So it's a lot, and I know people feel bad for Nina Long and whatever, but let me tell you, both people in the relationship hurt because you messed up something that you're never going to get back. Because I always say, if you're a cheater, you don't get caught.
Yeah. That's true.
But if you get caught, you're hurting that person. No, why would you want to hurt that person because of what you want to do?
So who is it? Like you saying that you think the men is crazy that's cheating on them?
No, I just feel that okay, look, you know that when you got a lot of money and you out there and you around people with money, and you don't have to be around money. Look at you, for example. You say that a lot of women be throwing themselves on you. Now, suppose you was married, and all these women that's throwing themselves on you, okay, you know you married, and they throwing themselves on you. Is that going to make you decide, oh, well, all these women out here, they want me. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be with them. You know, it don't matter. I got somebody home. These women want me. They need me, and ain't enough of men in the world, so I'm going to enjoy myself. No. People are going to throw themselves at you, but it's up to you to decide that you're not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do that. You know what I mean? I'm satisfied with what I got. You know what I mean? But when you a person that you're not satisfied, you're going to do that. I just say that you don't have to hurt the person that you're with.
That's true. I'm calling the number one caller.
Go ahead.
Still here?
Still here.
Did you ever deal with depression?
Deal with what?
Depression.
Depression. Yeah, I guess I have.
No, because, you know, I was talking about that earlier. I was, like, asking people about depression. There was people, I was reading up on it, they was telling me how millions and millions and millions of people suffer from it. I was supposed to have somebody call in, but I'm waiting for them to call in, but they didn't call in yet.
Well, the most depression I ever had was my mother's death. That was it. My mother and my husband, those were the two worst ones. That was my depression. So I have depression every day. I'm not as bad with it now.
Okay. I got it.
Because
it
was a time I cried every night for 5 years. Every night I cried for 5 years. I'm not doing that now. It's just when a memory pops in my head, it happens, but then I'm okay.
For 5 years?
5 years straight, yep.
Well,
sometimes, you know,
like,
you have a little memory.
That was more like depression from, like you said, like from death or something like that. I'm talking about you know, a state of depression when you're just depressed about, like, life in general.
Oh, no. I have to shake it off and move on to something better. I'm old now. When I was younger, I just shook it off and tried something different. You know how you're struggling to pay a bill, oh, you don't have the money, what you going to do? You'd be trying to think of crazy shit to do. You just have to calm yourself down and get your head together.
No,
and just
true.
Think about something positive. Yeah, definitely. If I didn't think that way, I would have been on the corner. And I said I wasn't going on nobody's corner, so I worked. I've been working since I was 18 years old. Excuse me, 17.
You ever... Somebody ever called you dirty names
spit it out.
Somebody ever called you dirty names during sex?
You know what? No, I can honestly say no.
Nobody never, they never called you nothing. They never said, like, you know, like, do it, bitch, or nothing like that, or nothing.
Hell no. No.
Okay.
The sex would have been over is calling me a bitch.
What'd you say?
No.
What?
Call me a bitch, it would have been over.
During sex?
No. Hell yeah. Now, you knew my husband out one night. We were out one night, and he just said, hey, bitch, come here. I said, wait a minute. Wait, we just met, and he called me bitch. I said, oh, no. I checked him right then and there. I guarantee you he never said it again. He probably been thinking it.
You had just met him?
Yeah. He said, I thought all men talk to women like that. I said, not this woman. You know he was country.
You know,
stop playing.
Somebody call me. Somebody called me and told me they grew up with him. You know that, right?
Oh, really? He have somebody here,
yeah.
Madison?
He called me and said that, because I guess he seen me when I made the post about you, and he called me, he called me on Facebook, and his name is Michael Brooks, and he said that he grew up with your husband and I guess North Carolina or something like that.
His name, Michael what?
Michael Brooks.
Never heard that name in all the years we've been together.
Yeah, he's on Facebook.
And if he live in Patterson. That's a good one. Michael Brooks. Never heard that name.
Yeah, look it up. He's on there definitely. Definitely. We're gonna know what? I'm waiting for somebody to call in. It's supposed to talk about depression. I don't know if they're gonna call in, but in the meantime, we're gonna take a quick break and go to a quick song, and we'll be right back after this song.
Okay.
Okay, welcome back. That was a little different tune. That joint 5 minutes long. I had to cut that joint off. it was too long. Earlier, I was trying to earlier I was trying to play this song from Rick James, but I don't know what happened to the sound. And it made me think of something. Oh, I can hear it a little bit now. But it made me think of something. I don't know. I'm gonna see. You still here, 4785?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what that song Rick James made me think about? I remember when that's my sister. I remember when she won some tickets to a Rick James concert. Rick James and Tina Marie, I think it was his concert. He brought her out or whatever. We won some tickets to the show at Madison Square Garden. And everybody thought that she was going to take them with her and everything, but she wound up taking me to the concert. This was big for that time to see Rick James. He was at the height of his career. And we got lost and shit when we was going there. We couldn't find Madison Square Garden. It was crazy. I remember I had a Lee Jean outfit, Lee Jean jacket, Lee Jean pants, Timberland. And I remember we was driving all around New York, and then we got to this red light, and then we was arguing with each other. We couldn't find the place, and we was at a red light, and we looked up, and we seen the sign that said Madison Square Garden. It was right there. You remember that? And we looked up, and the Madison Square Garden was right there. We didn't even know it was right there. We was arguing at a red light. We looked up, and the Madison Square Garden was right there. So
we got to park right in front.
Yeah, so we went to the parking lot. Hold on, I hear a sound back there. I'm gonna have to hold on 1 second. I'm gonna mute your phones. Wait 1 second. Okay, 1 second. All right, I muted everybody's phone while I tell this story. So, we looked up at the red light and we seen the Madison Square Garden. We was right there. It was a parking lot. We went and parked in the parking lot. We got to the show. We had good seats. You know, Rick James came out. Y'all know Rick James. He's singing with Tina Marie. And back in them days, you know, like sniffing cocaine was casual. We even used to wear, or I used to wear, a chain around my neck with a bottle, and it had a spoon attached to it. Everybody, a lot of people had them, and you would stick the spoon in the bottle, you know, and you would get the coke and you would sniff it up your nose. It was supposed to be somewhat cool or whatever. And we in the concert and we jamming and everybody smoking weed and shit, and you know, I got the chain around my neck with the bottle on it, with the coke in the bottle and the spoon attached to it. And I spooned in the coke and the bottle, in the little bottle, you know, but I couldn't do it because it was too dark in Madison Square Garden. I don't know what happened. I couldn't scoop the cocaine on a spoon. So I fucked around and I said, let me take the little, that's a little bottle on a chain. I said, let me take a little bottle. I put it up to my nose. I take a little sniff, and you know, that way I could get some of it. So I fucked around. Everybody know I got a big ass nose. I take the bottle. I put it to my nose. I take a little sniff. I know it burnt a little bit. So, you know, I'm sitting there. And then after a while, I start feeling kind of, you know, a little, I don't know, I was feeling funny or whatever, but I was feeling good. I went to put the spoon in the bottle, and I didn't feel anything or nothing. I fuck around, I turned the bottle upside down, and there was no cocaine in the bottle. I had sniffed the whole, all the coke that was in the bottle in my nose at one time, in one sniff. I just sniffed, and it must have all went up my nose, the whole bottle of coke. So Now, people, you want to know why I'm crazy? Then that's one of the reasons why I'm crazy, because I probably could have, should have been dead. Feeling good, but I'm paranoid. So we listening to Rick James and Tina Marie singing Fire and Desire, and Rick James licking all over Tina Marie's stomach, and she licking all over him. And I touch my sister, and I'm, you know, she asked, what's up? I'm like, yo, I think I sniffed all that cocaine that was in that bottle. And she, I guess she telling me, no, like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, yeah, I think I sniffed all that cocaine at one time. And, you know, I guess she probably's telling me, I know you didn't sniff all that cocaine at one time. Paranoid. But don't forget, I'm still feeling good. I sniffed the whole bottle, like, in one shot. And Rick James is jamming, and I'm high as hell now, and I done sniffed the whole bottle of cocaine. And my sister telling me, like, I know you didn't sniff that whole bottle of cocaine. And I'm like, yes, I did. Now, why don't you go up there and fuck Rick James on the stage for me? You remember that?
Well, you didn't say that.
I didn't say that.
Something else.
I didn't say it like that.
You said something else.
What I said?
You said, won't you go up this on the stage and suck Rick James' dick? That's what you said.
Oh. I thought I said go up there and fuck him.
No, you didn't.
I said go up there and suck Rick James' dick.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Oh, but why I'm telling that story is because, you know, we had a lot of good times back in them days. And I wish we could bring them days back, you know, because, like, times is memories, you know, things is memories. People put too much emphasis on, like, jealousy and hatred and stuff like that nowadays. They don't even have loving memories. People don't even have day ones, like friends that they knew from grammar school and stuff like that. Some people don't even have memories. I met a female who said she never even been to Atlantic City. How you grew up in Patterson and you never even been to Atlantic City? You never even been out of Patterson. And I'm not saying drugs was good time, because some people got natural high, and I applaud them. But I went through my drugging days. And everybody should know that. You know what I mean? Like the number one caller always say, this is the Keeping It Real show. You know, and I keeps it real. My life is an open book. And, I remember when my sister lived in the towers, or we call them the River Root Towers. People probably don't know about that. What floor you lived on, Lise?
11.
The 11th. She lived on the 11th floor. And I would come visit her. And I came there that one day, me and my friend Smiley. And I took some pills. And I told her I could fly. And really, I thought I could fly off the 11th floor balcony. And I told her I was gonna fly off the balcony. And her and my friend Smiley, they locked me in her bedroom or some shit like that. And why I'm saying
I didn't say that. Smiley brought you there because you was too high, and he didn't know what to do. So.
Oh.
You were saying, sis, I'm gonna fly tonight. So my daughter was only 4 years old. So I said, you won't fucking fly tonight, and I got my daughter here. I said, so you better lay your fucking ass down and wait till the high go down. You were like, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna fly. I said, well, we see what's gonna happen, but the only thing you're gonna fly off is that motherfucking bed. That's the only thing you're gonna fly off of. So I made you lay down until the you got your shit together.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I didn't know it was the 11th floor, though. That was a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You would have felt it, though.
That was too high to fly.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, you didn't have your parachute suit on.
I ain't have shit on at all. Let me see. I gotta remind the people, if you on the phone lines and you want to make a comment or something, you have to press 1. To participate, it'd be nice to hear from some people. If not, I'm gonna just keep talking. I'm gonna just keep telling stories because I'm in a talking mood tonight. Is it any 4785? Is it anything that turns you? Is it anything that turns you off during sex?
Only thing turn me off with sex is if a person don't know how to fuck, or whatever they doing, they don't know what they doing, and you got to sit there while they not doing it right. And yeah, that turns me off. Or if it's, I know you guys get a little technical with this, but when it's too small and you can't feel it.
That turns you off?
Of course, you can't feel nothing.
Oh. Number one caller, anything to turn you off during sex?
Yes. When they're licking in my damn ear, that is. I hate that.
Licking in the air?
Yes. That's not no turn on. They want to lick something. I got something else for them to lick. Definitely not their ear.
You know what turned me off is when you ready to have sex and somebody say they got to go pee. That's a turn off for me. That's the biggest turnoff. Somebody say, "I gotta go pee." Hold up, I gotta go pee. That just kills my whole. That just fucks me up. For real.
But they say that's
what
you should do, though. They say you should pee though before you do it.
You think?
Yeah, they say you should pee before you have sex.
Yeah, I know. But that's a turn. That's you said they supposed to pee before they have sex.
Supposed to pee before you have sex. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, caller number one. You know it's one more thing you don't like. You didn't say it.
Okay. The boobs. I don't like nobody touching my tits.
No, one other thing. It's not that.
What shitty deal?
No.
Well, what?
You don't like real big dicks, remember?
Oh, hell no. Ain't nobody putting me in no hospital. I like
you
it big,
like
but
big,
I'm not
you
enormous.
Like big, you don't like big penises?
I don't want not no enormous. I want a normal big size, not nothing that's going to put you in the hospital. Not happening. I ain't got no, what do you call that, ocean
Jordan
down there. I'm a big girl, but it ain't big like that down there. Mm-mm, not happening.
I know one other female who say that she don't like big penises.
Oh no, we like
so
it big, but not enormous
you're not
like
alone.
That. Nothing that's gonna do damage.
You're not alone.
Where my girl at tonight? She didn't call. Is she on the line? Calling. What's her name again? I always forget her name. What's her name, Lisa?
Isn't it? It's not
the
Toya.
One.
Who is?
No, it's Sheila.
The one we like.
Deborah.
The one with Forrest.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. No, she didn't call in tonight.
Oh, she went out. Get on this phone, girl.
I think that's Latoya.
Yeah, Latoya.
No,
yeah,
that's no. It's
didn't.
Another name. That's not the name.
Deborah, Adrian.
Adrian. That's right, Adrian.
Yeah,
I like
Adrian. Adrian. Yeah, she didn't call in the name. We just got a bunch of people listening to us talk, so I'm just talking. We just having some fun, you know. So that's what I gotta do. And I'm fortunate that you and my sister on the line, because then I would really have to just be talking.
Number one, I would like to tell the story. Me and number one. We went to New York, and they used to have real good weed, and we would go all the way to what part of New York was that?
I don't even remember. All I know is Third Crazy. I can remember the weed.
Yeah, it wasn't Manhattan. It was far out. We had to go, and back then,
all I know, Third Crazy.
Back then,
Third
it wasn't.
Crazy.
It was back then. It was only AM radio. That's how old we are. And so we had a radio in the car. Remember, we had the radio in the car. So anyway, we went to by the ocean in New York, and we were smoking Stir Crazy. And I had just bought a brand new coat. It was beige, and it was freezing out there. And I was standing by the it was a big tank. Drum. They had fire.
No, we was at the person's house. We were standing in the backyard
with the
drum.
No, not that. We was on the we was by the ocean, and we was by the drum, and it was a fire, and I was there and warming up. So anyway, I couldn't tell anything. So the next day, when I put my coat on, my coat was all scorched up from being burnt from the tank, you know, the drum being that close to it. And I only had this, remember, I only bought the coat like it was only a day old. And I was upset.
Damn.
But, but the high was good. The coat got fucked up, but the high was good.
Yeah, that was the best herb ever. I bet they don't know nothing about no Stir Crazy now.
No, it was good. It was good.
So
hey,
what
remember when
coat?
You got a nickel bag, it was like a dime bag then.
Mm-hmm. Not with number one, but with another girlfriend, I went to New York and bought some. And we was high as I don't know what coming back to Patterson. And when we got back to her house, her boyfriend, he was smoking it. And he was like, this is fucking parsley. But we was high as a motherfucker off parsley.
Parsley?
What?
Parsley.
Parsley.
Parsley. We didn't buy weed. They sold us parsley.
And you wasn't high.
You thought you was high.
That's how your mind play with you.
My mind don't play like that.
listeners, you gotta remember that the show is keeping it real. So when we talk about all this, we keeping it real.
Remember, my first husband was a weed junkie, and I know parsley from weed. Give me a break, okay?
Well, you
he
know,
did
I
did teach me
and
about
I,
the weed.
I tell you, I was
you
high.
You was
off
high
off
of parsley.
But you know, they mix it with a little bit of weed, too.
Duh, I knew. Well, I don't smoke weed. What is the other stuff they used to put in the weed?
Hash.
No, it's another thing they used to put in.
They used to put a little bit of everything in it. They put coke in it, too.
Yeah,
I couldn't get into the habit of that. I tried that.
Yeah.
I tried it, but I couldn't hang with that. That was too expensive. I bought it one time. I spent $25. I never sniffed the whole thing. And my girlfriend knew I bought it, and she was like, "You got any more?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Can I have some?" I gave it to her. I couldn't get a buzz. Like, I like the marijuana better.
Me and Lois went out one time. Oh, I'm sorry I said the name, but anyway. We went out one time, and we invited another friend, and we was we was doing coke, and when we passed it to the friend, it belonged to some guys we was with. She sneezed and blew all the weed on the floor. I mean, not the weed, the coke. And the guy was getting serious. I thought they was gonna kill us. And
the fork bar, right?
Yeah, they jumped down on the floor and they started sniffing the floor. And I said to number one, "That's a little bit too deep. All that dirt down there, I don't think so."
They
jumped on the floor.
Hell yeah, they were on the floor and got their coke. They wasn't ready to get wasted.
So they were down there getting that.
When she sneezed, it went everywhere. It went on the clothes.
I remember that, too.
Clothes. Yeah.
Well, here goes the real funny one. One guy I dated, well, not dated, he was a booty call guy. And we was at the hotel, and we were snorting, and I spilled some on the rug. That man nose went down to that rug, and he was sniffing the rug up. I say, I'd be damned. I say, that was too much. Ooh, that's why I could never get into the coat. They were freaked out over that.
He was sniffing the rug?
Yeah,
sniffing the rug. And wait, I can tell you what hotel, townhouse. That's, I was, what, 19 then?
That was a long time ago.
You better believe it. A long time ago.
That's Route 46.
No, that's Route 4 by where Wendy's at.
No. That's
46. That's right.
Yeah, that's Route 46.
Yeah.
That's those. Now those was the days.
Yeah, it was.
Hold on 1 second. 8555
Live. Yeah, what's going on? Shadi.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
You know?
Hey, Shadi.
Hey, what's up, Lee?
I'm sorry I missed you again. I'm telling you, every Wednesday, like, I'm going to get you, though. I'm going to get in there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
Keyshawn,
yeah. Bring some guests too. You know, we can use some guests. We can use some interaction on the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I will. We all
yes.
stick together. You know what I mean? Whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever I bring, because you have to advertise. I do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm working on some. You know, I'm working on some different stuff to promote it and everything too.
Yeah, you had some good topics this week. I'm sorry I missed them. Caller number one, you got to listen too.
Okay.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. So from 7 to 8
on Wednesday. What's going on?
7 to 8, bro.
Yeah. I hear you. What you say?
What's going on?
Not much, man. Just, you know, tuning in, brother. Just tuning in.
We're talking about a couple of different things and stuff like that.
Yeah, what I got on, I heard about the townhouse and somebody sniffing blow off the rug.
Sniff and blow off the rug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, look, some people had their own room at the townhouse.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They
you was in the beginning like that back then.
Huh?
Yeah, you was able to do it like that back then.
Yeah. It ain't cost
that
much.
Was.
Yeah.
Yo, hold on 1 minute. Hold on. 93-18, you live.
Peace, brother. How are you?
Peace.
The original, man. Just checking in.
Hey, what's up, big?
You got it. Peace to the God, Shadi. Bless up to the family.
Peace.
All the
peace.
You
good
always
to hear from
tune
you.
In.
Good to hear
every
from
now
you,
and then.
Likewise.
You know?
Word. I was here listening to this shit. I said, yeah, I got a call. I heard the God, Shadi. I had to greet the God.
yeah. Come on the show if you're available on Wednesdays. I had my own little, you know, podcast on Wednesdays from 7 to 8.
Yeah, you already know.
Available. Yeah. Check in.
Indeed,
because we basically just, you know, on there just discussing issues that's going to help us grow and help us rise, man. That's it.
Indeed. That's peace, guys. For real. You already know. Definitely got my support on that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sure. Yeah, man. I just wanted to greet you, man. I don't want to hold y'all, man. Y'all go ahead and build. But I'm going to be listening, though.
Hey,
okay,
I ain't even going to ask you no. Hey, B.O., I ain't even going to ask you no topics or nothing tonight. I always get you.
Yeah, you do. You do, Jay. You do. It's all gravy, though. You know what I mean?
What's the weather, B.O., in Atlanta?
It got up to 80 today. Right now, it's, let me see. I'll check it right quick. Man, my phone's slow gassing. Might be me, though. Oh, 68 right now.
68?
Y'all didn't get hit by the storm?
You catching wind,
well,
you know what I mean?
A lot of wind.
Yeah, a lot of wind.
Oh, Sha, you in North Carolina, Sha. You catch the storm?
Yeah, I'm kind of catching some of it, you know what I mean? The wind, the rain, you know what I mean? Not, so far, not too crazy, but I've got the wind and the rain right now. You know, it's been going on, the rain, raining all day. You know, it's like 67 here.
Yo, we got it. Yo, we got ABO.
True.
We got to go in.
What? Talk about gay,
hey, B.O., what turned you off? What could be something to turn you off during sex?
I heard the topic too, man. I don't know, man. I can't answer that shit, Jay, right now, man. I'm trying to think of something.
passing gas, you know, gas smell.
Yo,
both of those.
Hey, yo,
those
should,
two.
Hey,
thank
yo,
you for
hey,
that. Shot. Thank you for that.
You should be saying you can't answer it if I ask you what turned you on, not what turned you off.
Oh, okay. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, those two things for sure. Those two things for sure, brother, right there.
Hey, I told you what turned me off. What turned me off is when a female be like, hold up, I got to go pee. That's the killer for me. Hold up, I got to go
gotta
pee.
Tell her.
Like,
her,
that's
Jay,
the worst.
You got to pee before you see her. You know what I mean? Before you go see her, just tell her make sure she peed already. Preparation is half the battle.
Yeah, you know that's a killer, man. Especially when you like at my age, our age. You know what I mean? You ready to go, and then somebody got to tell you, hold up, I got to go pee.
Word up, yeah. Yeah,
you know
that'll kind of stun it.
That's a killer.
Yeah, that, Yeah, that is not it right
Shadi,
there.
Shadi, what you said, Shadi, pass the gas.
Yeah, pass the gas, during it. You know, you
I know,
say
but I know, but have that,
before
have that ever happened to you? Have that ever happened to you?
No. No, not that I know of, but the bad smell, yeah. That one. I had that, brother.
Oh, it was a silent killer.
No, the vagina, man. The vagina starts smelling up after a while. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's definitely a turn off during sex.
Yeah. You know?
That's definitely.
The bad aroma starts flowing up. You like, we gotta cut this out.
Yeah. That's definitely bad.
I'm gonna say that's number one.
Yeah, I know. Yo, man, you know I always appreciate when you call in.
Oh, come on, Jay, you already. Jeez, man. And like I said, man, I heard. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely calling.
And oh, you was on the link.
All right.
You was listening on the link?
True, indeed.
Okay. All right. Hey, yo, I appreciate the support.
You already know.
As soon as I get to land, I'm coming to your house. I want you to teach me how to drive that, what's that thing you was driving, cutting that grass?
The lawnmower.
That shit fucked me up. That fucked me up. You see, I still talk about it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm on the lawn. He's cracking. He's like, I'm going to film this shit, B.O.
Yo, because, you know, we all from the city. So to see you, somebody I know, you know, I know you from the city. To see you, like, chilling and relaxing, you know, and living the southern life on your lawnmower that looked like a car. You know, that really was something to me.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I all that shit.
It's a trick. Shy, you got one of them?
No, but I'm gonna have to get one, brother. I'm gonna have to get one. You know, I've been paying somebody to, but I'm gonna end up having to get one.
B.O. don't gotta pay nobody. He cut his own shit. He get up in that joint. Drive that joint, cut his own shit.
That's because B.O. broke. Gotta cut it. Hey, when you can pay somebody, you're doing good. Shit.
I'm just doing it because I didn't get a chance to get around to it, so I'm definitely going to get for it. So I can say that's money saved. You know, when you're cutting it yourself, that's money going out.
You got time.
That's a liability. That's a liability. You should know.
Yeah, you got time.
Hey, Sha.
What's up?
Hey, Sha, did you hear what happened to me like 2 or 3 weeks ago?
No, what happened?
Oh, you didn't hear about it? I didn't bring it up
no,
to you, but I thought you already heard about it.
No, I ain't hear nothing. No, I don't. Only time I hear stuff is when I come up there, man.
I'll tell you after the show. I'll just give you a little bit. Right. I touched on it last week, but I didn't touch about it too much. I was driving down the street in my car, and somebody I knew was getting jumped by a bunch of little kids with bats and bricks, and then they jumped in my car. And then my car wound up getting hit with bricks and bats and stuff like that.
Wow.
And it was crazy. But it just goes to show you how fast in life you could get into something.
It's crazy that you say that somebody we know was getting, you know, getting abused by the youngsters, man.
And the youngsters I knew too. We know too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the youngsters right. that I know is somebody we know from the AB kids.
Oh, okay.
Was
chasing yeah,
somebody
didn't recognize
we know
you?
From the street. Were back.
But they didn't recognize you.
And the person
when they saw you.
Yeah, everybody knew me.
They still beat your car down.
That's what I'm saying.
That's,
see, you
yeah,
see you smart.
Fine.
They talking about how I pulled off and almost ran. I ran, did this, and I pulled off. I could have hurt somebody. The point is, you know me.
Right. That's foul. That's what I'm saying. That's foul. That they, you know, they beat your car down. They know you, especially if they know you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because, you know, somebody jumped in my car, what I'm going to do, I know him. And
right.
I know the people that's chasing him. So if you jump in my car, then the people that's chasing him, they should just say, okay, we're going to get you another day because that's Jay Sean.
Right. Yeah, that's what you would expect. You know what I mean? You know, I'm,
yeah.
You know, I'd be different with that. Like, I'm going to try to, you know, piece it out, especially if I knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, ho, what's the deal? Don't run up on my joint, you know, what's
well,
going
yeah.
on? You know, get him another time. Don't mess with my joint.
That's true.
That just goes to show, you know, where we at as
right.
people and what we have to work on. That just solidifies, you know, where I'm striving to go with the show. You know, it's certain things that we're lacking that we have to get back. You know what I mean? And that's just that one of them things is common respect. That's common respect right there.
Because,
you know, I've
seen murder in the kids, the little kids' eyes. You know, nobody stopped to think of the repercussion if they would have hit the old dude with a bat or with a brick, which they had. They would have been in jail for murder.
Yeah, no, they don't think about that. And anyway, a lot of the generation don't think, you know what I mean? There's some good ones, you know, as we spoke about last week, but there's another portion of them who are strictly emotional and they go with
yeah.
that emotion. And, you know, when you deal with emotion, 9 out of 10 times, if you make a decision based on emotion, it's not going to work out good. It's not going to work out in your favor. In the long run, even if it works for that temporary time, in the long run, it's not gonna be a benefit to you. You know, like
that's
anger
true.
is an emotion. You know what I mean? Anger is emotion. You know, that's an emotion.
Yeah.
No, most times you get angry. You know what I mean? That's an emotion. You have to deal with that. You know, you got to think. Okay, I'm angry. After this anger cool off, is this a good idea? You know, me going ahead and bust this joker in the head. Now I'm not angry no more. Now his head busted. It's too late. You know, he's going to the morgue, going to the hospital. Now I got a murder charge or an assault charge. You know, over anger.
Yo, could you understand why a man would cheat on Jennifer Lopez, Halle Berry, Beyonce, or Nia Long, Mary J. Blige?
Yeah.
Why?
Because at the end of the day, if it's in you to do that, after a while, they just like any other woman. You know what I mean? You know, they just like any other woman. The same things you had with the women you with, and the nagging or whatever it is that you go through. Take you through it too. You know what I'm saying? It's just because we are the outside and we're just looking at the beauty, But behind the beauty, there's some other characteristics. And those characteristics could, you know, drive you away sometimes. You know, I mean, you know, and most times when
make you cheat on Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, you, like I said, you're just looking at her physical aspect. You know what I'm saying? You're not looking at, okay, the household, how she looking in the household and how she deal with certain situations when you bring them to her. You know what I mean? There's things that, you know, you could get angry. Sometimes you just do it out of anger. Sometimes you could do it out of being neglected. Like, you know, more so. You know, I mean, women do it more so out of being neglected, but men can also be neglected. You know what I'm saying? So you get neglected, and then if you're in a certain status, in order to get one of them, you got to be in a certain status too. So if you're in that type of status, you got, come on, women look just like them, like running to you too. You know, it's the same as cats. Here, in the inner city of us blue collar workers, it's the same because, you know, if somebody be looking at your wife or your lady, said, man, if I had her, I wouldn't cheat on her. You know what I'm saying? They'll be looking the same way. You know, I mean, and that's something a lot of times it's something you dealing with within your own stuff. Sometimes it's something you, as a person, as a man, you may be feeling, you know, because if a woman demasculates you, you know what I mean, start making you feel less than a man, now you got to go and try to, in your mind, you got to try to prove like, man, I'm still a man. I still got it. And you go out just to do that just to see. You know, you've done it.
So,
you know, that's that could happen.
So you wouldn't cheat on J-Lo?
I mean, where I'm at now, no. But where I was before, I'm pretty sure. Each one of you named. You know what I mean? It's where I'm at now, no. Because I've grown beyond that, where I can tolerate the temptation and things of that nature. Before, I wasn't able to tolerate that. The temptation would get me. You know?
Word. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
you,
yeah,
so,
I,
so
I
I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. You got one of them. So now you say Gabrielle Union or Sanaa Lathan, one of them walk up on you, and you got one of them. What you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? If you already in that state of mind. So, you know, like I said, now, no. Back then, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Hold on, Shaw. Hold on.
All right.
Carl, you in? Who it is? Hello?
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Fine. Yeah, I just was perusing the station here, and I heard the gentleman that was speaking has made some very foundational points, very good points. And I can just add a few observations is that, first of all, you assume that just the men are cheating. I think that's an assumption. I'm just reading item 4 here. All of your points are good. Depression, I have some ideas on it. And what do you find turns you off during sex? All right. Well, number 4, where you say J-Lo, Halle, Beyonce, Miss Long, all were cheated on. Well, I think the gentleman, as I said before, stated it well. They're dealing with guys who are dealing with them, certainly in the same or similar industry. So there's no novelty, there's no newness, and. First of all, let me just say, how do you know that these women aren't bitches? Number one, J-Lo. I'm very turned off by her. I don't like her. She has a filthy mouth. And very few men appreciate that emanating from a woman. But Halle Berry is definitely mental. I mean, it's not hard to discern that. I don't know about Beyonce per se, but I know she did choose a drug dealer, and, you know, she chose a man who was uneducated. Now, he's in an industry where he makes a lot of money, no mistake about it. There's a little bit of background. I don't know if you hear it, a noise.
Yeah, a little bit, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, money is good, but money certainly is not everything. So character means a lot, too. And I think if I didn't raise it, I certainly meant to. How do we know that these women haven't cheated? I certainly think they're capable of it. They have the opportunity to do it. So, and let me just ask you, since you put it out there that way, have they not cheated? Have you not heard any information regarding J-Lo? These women here that you mentioned, have they not cheated on men that they were with?
Well, the first thing I heard you say was, how do I know these women aren't bitches? Right? Right?
Yes, yes, I did say that, of course.
Yeah. You mean by bitching, like nagging?
You guys
nagging and stuff like that?
Wait a minute, two people are speaking, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, that was somebody in the background. When you say bitches, what you mean by bitches?
Well, okay, I'll just give you Webster's definition. A domineering, malicious, and spiteful woman. That's the definition of a bitch. Domineering, spiteful. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You know, I use that word a lot, so I'm just wanting you to clarify for the listeners.
Right. Well, I'm giving you the dictionary definition. Domineering, meaning that they want to control. Malicious, meaning that they are hurtful in their actions, and spiteful. They're always seeking to get back, you know, create retribution or whatever. It's not a good person. When I use the term bitch, that's what I'm using it as, and it's not a good person. It's a bad person, bad character, bad behavior. Does that clarify it?
Yeah, that clarifies it. No, I just because I know you said, well, how do we not know these women were cheating too? And I mean, you're right. You're right on that. How do we know they're not cheating?
I want to answer the second part of it also, because I think I have a little bit of insight into where you ask, how can you, presumably you're talking about non-famous women, how can you keep it from being you? Which is a good question, by the way.
Right. I mean, well, all of it is hypothetically speaking, you know what I mean? So when I say Halle Berry, Beyonce, Nia Long, and Jennifer Lopez, I'm just speaking if you was with somebody of their stature. In an everyday average life with a man and woman, I mean, the average woman don't look like Beyonce. So,
well, I can give you a little bit of pushback on that. Beyonce is not that attractive. She's short, and obviously she has a lot of assistance. I mean, she's a good looking woman. I would rate her at about a good 7.
You rate Beyonce as a 7?
Absolutely. There are women that could blow her out of the water. And see, you got to realize this too, sir. Hold on 1 second. You got just everyday women. You got to realize this too. Most of Beyonce's attractiveness, and I would say most of these women here, is makeup. If you look at them without makeup on, they're not impressive in the slightest. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, well, all you have to do, you can go on YouTube and look up them, look up these women without makeup, and you'll see what I mean.
No, I believe Jennifer Lopez is pretty without makeup.
No, she's not. Absolutely. That was one of the ones I was thinking of specifically. She looks a little bit boyish.
Yo.
I mean, she has a big badonk, but, you know, she's not that attractive. She looks very, let me put it another way, just to be more accurate or precise. She looks very bland. Without her makeup on, that takes her down at least three notches, maybe four.
Oh.
So is there anybody on that list that's higher than a seven to you? Halle Berry, Nia Long, any of them?
Okay, let me see. Now, Halle Berry has a natural attractiveness, although she uses makeup too. But Halle Berry, and I'm not quite picturing Nia Long, but, I mean, you can compare these women and compare them without makeup. As one guy used to say, particularly Kevin Samuels, he used to talk about fresh face out of the shower. That's why I'm not impressed with a woman saying, you know, for example, well, a man needs to pay for me because I do all this preparation. First of all, most men would prefer you not to do all that preparation. Just be clean, you know, be hygienic, and come with a pair of jeans. You know, just be you. The average woman comes with all this damn makeup. You don't know who she is, and she's certainly not who she represents herself to be. So just to answer your question precisely, I'm thinking, like I say, Halle Berry just has a natural, her facial structure, her physiognomy, her body type, you know, because that goes into it too, not just the face, but the whole person. But Beyonce, yeah, Beyonce is about it. I mean, she's average, not much above average. What is she, about 5'4"?
I don't really know.
Yeah, I think she's about, they list her as being about 5'4". I mean, she's all right. I'm not saying that. But again, her attitude, and I've listened to J-Lo, of course, in movies and stuff like that, and her mouth is just filthy. That turns a guy off a whole lot, generally.
No, yeah, you're right. You definitely right.
And another thing, these women pick guys who are generally not any good for relationships anyway. And so we can't blame it on the guy. I guess you know the old saying about the woman who picked the snake and nurtured the snake, and then the snake bit her. And then
yeah,
she
I heard
asked
that.
The snake, yeah, why did you bite me? She says, see, women need to be smarter in their choices, and they're not. Because most of us, being sympathetic, we're usually soft-hearted and soft-headed. We give women a pass for their bad choices and bad behavior. So women could make a much better choice. I don't think Jay-Z was a good choice for virtually any woman. Any woman. But yet, she chose him. And it wasn't for his character. So, I mean, one gets what they get. But I guess to continue on, a woman can, first of all, have good communication skills herself. And complaining is not a good communication skill. But just have a good communication skill, spend time with the person, with the guy, and get to know the guy, what he's like, and then like what's normal. A lot of women don't like what's normal. Let me give you a quick example. Guys that are drug dealers have no problems ever with women. They get all the poon, all the women they could ever want. Why? Because women like that unnatural state. Not all women, not all women, but a large contingent of women. And most guys are never going to meet all women anyway. So women who like guys that are on the edge and who do things that they themselves are too cowardly to do, but guys who are just dysfunctional, women love dysfunctional guys. It's called the dark triad. I don't know if you've heard of that, but where guys are narcissistic, they talk about Machiavellianism, and psychotic.
No, I never heard of that.
Yeah, well, you can look that up. The dark,
it's
very well known in the psychological field.
One second. Somebody got a question.
I have a question for you. When you say drug dealers, do you say specifically drug dealers, or is it just a small portion of drug dealers that has this trait that you were talking about?
Well, I would say virtually any drug dealer, but I would say, you know, that's living pretty much outside of the law. It's living on the ragged edge. It's living dangerously. And women like that. They generally like men who behave that way. They have sex with men like that. They get very, very turned on by men like that. And they'll sacrifice oftentimes their very lives for men like that. So, you know, that's what they do. I bet you there are many doing it right now. All right?
So,
and you read about a lot of...
You're saying the bad boy type. That's what you say, basically a specific type.
Yeah, and let me give you a specific example. Some women who went to Harvard, a number of women, and they were women of color, and they ended up getting killed, okay, getting shot or whatever. But they were hanging out with guys who were drug dealers. Now, how I'm talking about Harvard University, one of the top universities in the country, Ivy League. And you'll find this very, very frequently. Women like the worst guys. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, could it be that the drug dealer guy had characteristics that the other guys didn't have, such as confidence, such as natural intelligence instead of just book smart? They got natural intelligence, you know? I mean, sometimes it's other things, like because a person deals drugs doesn't necessarily mean that he's less than, he may be caught in a situation where he started off one way and then realized or didn't get the chance to realize that, okay, what I'm doing is detrimental more so than being helpful to himself and his community. You know, and women a lot of times, they see the potential in an individual, and sometimes the man may live up to the potential, sometimes he may not. A lot of women like a person who has confidence. If most drug dealers, you got to have confidence. You got to have confidence. You got to believe that you're going to be able to do what it is that you set out to do, and not necessarily because you're a drug dealer. It's because you have a thought pattern of being an entrepreneur. It just happened to be illegal. There's multiple people, Kennedys, the Trumps, it's multiple people who are wealthy now who started off in drugs. Their forefathers and all that started off in drugs, but was able to make the switch. Unfortunately, we don't get the opportunity to make that switch. We get caught up, get murdered, or get locked up for life, and we don't get the opportunity to make the switch. That's the thing. And Jay-Z is one of the guys who happened to be able to make the switch. He showed you what a drug dealer can be if he gets the opportunity to make the switch. That's what he shows. That's what he represents. And I think that's what Beyonce was attracted to, the fact that this guy was a drug dealer. Now he's a billionaire. So it shows that it wasn't about the drugs. It was about the hustle, the money, the means of survival. You know, a lot of people who never got into drugs, they have this dark conception about drug dealers being like the worst type of people, but they're not. They're people who chose a path that was illegal, you know, and they have to accept all the consequences that come with it. But that, you know, there are some drug dealers who understand that, look, this was a bad choice, and they ready to amend. Go ahead.
Another thing is, what about Prince Charles? He cheated on Diana. What about Marilyn Monroe, Lucille Ball? You know what I mean? All those women too were beautiful women, but also were cheated on by their mate. You know, it's not just about being who the person chose. These were elite people, and their men cheated on them constantly. And they wasn't drug dealers. So, you know, what's the difference? It's all women of all color that this happened to, that no matter what they look like, with makeup or without makeup, these men chose to cheat on these women so-called, we say, are beautiful.
Right. Well, first of all, let me just address, I don't know if you're speaking to me or not, but I would like to speak to the gentleman who was, I don't know if he was justifying, let's just say he was explaining about the drug dealer. Look, this is what I would
say. Yeah, but it's not really about the drug dealers. It's really about people cheating on women. We're not discussing about people choosing to sell drugs. We already know that certain women choose drug dealers from the background or where they come from. But we're talking about cheating, and cheating don't have to be about drug dealers. It's about men that choose to be with other women while they were women that in life they think that these women are beautiful women. That's what it's about. But you want to bring up drug dealers when what about doctors? They're drug dealers too. They sell medication constantly and give prescriptions to, what is the opioid thing they got going on? How many people go to a doctor's every day for medication higher, 800 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams, to be high all day? They don't go in the street and buy drugs. They go to their doctors. Same thing.
Right.
Doctors
right.
are drug dealers. They go to Harvard. They go to Harvard.
Yeah, I think you're stretching it there.
No, I'm not stretching it.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, by the way. I understand what you're saying.
We're talking about people that have degrees that are drug dealers too.
Right, right, right. All right. Well, let me know when I can respond to it.
Go ahead and respond.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, two things. See, you said we weren't talking about the drug dealers, but then you brought up the drug dealers. But look, if you want it, we can deal with both, by the way. Women make bad choices. I'm not saying that Charles is a good person. He probably isn't. And you mentioned someone else. Who was the other guy that you, Ricardo.
Jack Onassis with Kennedy.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is women bear some responsibility.
Trump?
We always talk about how smart women are.
They cheated on their wife. You know what I mean?
All right, I got it.
For women. Okay, I'm glad you got it.
Okay. What we do, we always talk about how smart women are, okay? And they could use a little bit of that smartness in choosing a partner because there are a lot of men who don't cheat, okay? And there are women who cheat, too, because I brought this up, I think, when one of the hosts were just saying it in one way that these women are cheated on. And women cheat a lot, too. When you look at the surveys, women cheat pretty much as much as men, right up there with men. And but look, what I would say women could do easily is choose better men. Now, they may not like those men because they don't have the same level of excitement. See, a lot of people like a lot of drama. And one of the things about cheating, if you talk about game, and I've actually define this in conversation. One of the things that constitutes game is lying and cheating. And women will tell you that they want a man with game. Now, they won't say they want a man that lies and cheats, per se. They won't say that openly. But I guarantee you, when you flesh it out, lying and cheating is part of the game. It's part of the drama. A lot of women like to be concerned about what their men are doing. If they know what the man is doing, they're bored with him. They don't like him. He's considered a lame type guy. But the guy who's out there chasing cock, just as he was Poon when he got her, that's the guy that she falls in love with. And so we have to look at that behavior on the part of women and not just see women as victims. Women are active participants in their lives and what happened to them. And there's no way of sidestepping or getting around that. There's no resolution unless that is taken into the equation. Go ahead.
Now, caller, I have to agree with you to some extent when you say,
you know,
women need to be accountable for their decisions in men. However, you know, and that normally comes a little later. You know, that normally comes after a few mistakes have been made, because women, I've known women who, like you said, they don't like the guy that they can dominate. That's a key factor. See, most of the guys that they can dominate becomes, as you said, boring. So, and, you know,
Why do they want to dominate a guy? That's not a good characteristic.
I mean, but the thing is this: mm-hmm. The guy allows himself to be dominated. That's the thing. If you allow a woman to tell you to be a yes man, eventually she gets tired. And a lot of the guys that you mentioned, what you call
I didn't catch that. If a woman allows you, if you're allowed to be a yes man, what?
If you are a yes man, everything the woman asks yes, 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 she gets bored with you because you don't know when to say no, no, baby, not this, yeah, that, no. So women need balance, and if you don't have a balance, she's going to lose interest. Of course she's going to lose interest.
Let me give you a personal, if you don't mind,
let
me give you a personal example, one that happened to me. Is that okay when you say so?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was involved with the woman, and there's by no means am I a wimp. By no stretch of any sensible imagination as I'm a wimp. And hopefully you can discern that just from my conversation. Nevertheless, I was with the woman, and this woman said to me, something on the order of, you allow me to do whatever I want, and that's controlling me. It was really crazy. Now, this woman was a grown woman. She was a professional. And notice the word grown woman or adult.
Right.
An adult is supposed to be autonomous. I'm not a child. So if I'm with a person, with a woman, I have pretty much everything I need to have under control. All right. So if she is doing something, as long as it's not way out of bounds, I'm okay with it. It's just like if you ask me what kind of food I like. Well, I can roll with the whole range of foods. Now, I don't like raw foods. I will say that. That's where I draw the line. I like for my food to be fully cooked, right? So,
what she
had a problem with was her own autonomy. And see, what I recommended to her was to get some counseling, because I didn't want to go down that particular road. In fact, I wasn't going down that road. But accusing me of being of allowing her too much freedom, by the way, in Paradise Lost, that's what Satan accuses God of, giving him, being too good to him. And that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. See, I didn't entertain that dumb argument. I told her, look, you're an adult. If I don't have any objections, if you do something and I don't like it, I'll let you know. I'll draw the line there. But so far, she hadn't done that. But she wanted me to exercise some kind of bridle, which I don't do that. If I'm dealing, that's not the person that I can be in a relationship with if they need that kind of oversight. If they need to be raised as an adult, that's not the kind of person that I want to be with. You
right.
follow me?
So, yeah, see, that's okay. So there you go. You explained your point, and unfortunately, that's what happens to some women. Certain characteristics, this was the characteristic that she had that wasn't for you.
Unfortunately, right,
right. Certain characteristics that...
Let me say this,
let me finish.
Go ahead. I'm just...
Certain characteristics that men that are good for them have, they don't want. They may not be
right.
interested in. And that's why it's the struggle and it's the turmoil of men and women trying to find the right mate because of, like you said, there's some things that you're not going to put up with. There's some things that women are not going to put up with. However, it causes you to end up being with a person that's not good for you more times than not. Go ahead. You can continue.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Well, see, we have to make a determination here as adults as to what is functional and what's dysfunctional. That's very important. So I advise her to get therapy so that she could be more self-governing and feel more at ease with what she was doing. Now, at that particular point, she wasn't doing anything that was crazy, that was out of bounds, that was inappropriate. But yet, she wanted me to step in and exercise some kind of control. That doesn't make any sense. Why would I do that? What she needed to do was go to a therapist and really find, and I don't mean this in a negative way, is find out a little bit more about how to be an adult.
And it's possible she had father issues. It's possible that when she was growing up, her father wasn't there as much as she would like, and she's looking for that in a father, or maybe her father was that way to
Wait a
her,
minute. Absolutely.
And she was looking
You're
for
right.
that in a man. And
You're
she's
right.
looking for that in a man.
Okay, hold on, though. You're right.
Go ahead.
Okay, no, you're absolutely right. But that wasn't for me to fix. See, I'm here to enjoy life. I'm okay. If I need, I can tell, just like you have a temperature gauge on a car, whatever, you can see when the car is overheating. And then you take particular measures. See, a woman who sucks a man in trying to repair her, that's not his responsibility. That's her responsibility. And she needs to get help.
I agree with you.
Hey, well, let me just finish this off, though.
I agree with you. However, you have the reverse side. You have women who wants to repair men. So this is what I'm saying. So this is, like you said, it's a personal choice. However,
right.
this is why the man and woman particularly is the struggle. This is why it's the struggle, because as you said, there's certain things that you just don't want to tolerate. Everybody has a tolerant level. And if a person goes over that tolerant level for you, it's a done deal.
Right.
And that's both with men and women. So what we're looking for is to try to find that individual that's not perfect, but is perfect for us. And that's the problem. That's the biggest
problem. Yeah, that we can work with. We need to find someone that we can work with. But my point is, oftentimes women are not given any indices or any guidance that they need corrective action. See, because it's unfair to a guy for a woman to unload upon him with her problems. Sure, this woman had issues, abandonment issues. She had a lot of issues. I understand that. But
right.
It's not my problem to fix those, and it's not my problem to put up with her crap. It's her problem to take some of her earnings, and, you know, I wouldn't mind going to a session or so with the woman, an otherwise good woman, but she needs to go. I would usher her to, or chaperone her to counselor if she needed it, fine. But she needs to recognize that she needs it, and she's not going to put that on me, because that's not a problem that I want to deal with. That's not a problem that I'm going to deal with. Go ahead.
And I totally agree with you. However, there are guys out there that will be able to deal with that. Will be able to.
I don't know about that.
Consult,
no one had up
to consult,
that point.
To, if it's a matter of, you know, there's certain things that you can do. I mean, sometimes in a relationship, there's multiple parts you have to play. Sometimes there's multiple parts of you. If you care about a person and really love a person, you'll
right.
give it the effort. And if they care about you and love you, then they'll give the effort. See, it's a two-way thing, because no person comes in a relationship without any shortcomings. That we are
right.
going to have some shortcomings. So basically,
absolutely.
what we're striving to do is, okay, bring your shortcomings and she bring her shortcomings, and we put them together and be able to strengthen each other. Because
right,
so basically
right.
what she was looking for you is a strength to strengthen her. She
yeah, but I wasn't going
energy,
to do that, first of all.
Right,
and
but,
let me just tell you.
This is what I'm saying. It wasn't for you. It's as an individual, you just happen to be not that type of individual. There are individuals who are what we call rescue rangers. They like to rescue women. You know what I mean?
Right.
There are women who do, just as you said, with women. There are women who like to rescue men. So you
well,
just
let me
have
insert
to find that
here.
Right person. Go ahead.
Thank you. Most men, see, look, we can talk about negotiables and non-negotiables, okay? Heretofore, up until that point, no man had really tolerated her, no man of substance, because that's something that only she could repair, if it was to be repaired. If it was to be repaired, she would have to repair it by getting into therapy. I've been to therapy, and I have no problem recommending to people to get into therapy. Now, sometimes people are driven by their own narcissism and ego and other psychological shortcomings that they won't go to therapy. A therapist, a good therapist, can help one get over or at least manage problems that they have. And see, the way she was presenting her problem to me was in the form of arguing and creating – I'm sorry if I didn't say that. I meant to say that. She was creating – she was blaming me. And see, I don't roll that particular way. That's not the way I conduct
right.
myself.
And I could definitely understand that. I could definitely understand that. And that
right.
was
but communication.
That was a breaking point. Yeah.
But, well,
exactly.
Right. But the communication, communication, adult communication, and see, I let a person know what I'm going to do at a certain point. You don't just dump everything at the beginning, but I'll let a person know what I'm going to do. I don't like it to be hidden behind a lot of free dates and stuff. I date. I'm a man. I'm dating, and I date women exclusively. And so I don't like to deal with women who think that they can get be freeloaders. A lot of women, they want to claim equality, but they want men to do all this stuff for them. And so for that, she has to go to a Captain Save a Woman. And so, yeah, And so these are the things that we can do. Both men and women need to be honest about what they want, be very candid, upfront, transparent, as we like to say. And I think we can work it out. Now, what a lot of men are doing is going to other countries where the women are more inclined to be fit, feminine, and friendly. And, you know, so I agree with that also. But it's hard to find a compatible person. And with women looking for guys who are, now you used the term earlier, confidence. I mean, right. A lot of guys have confidence. Guys have to have confidence to be successful. That's one of the primary ingredients in a guy, especially if it's a self-made guy, is he has to be confident. And it may depend on what a woman calls confidence. She may call, I don't know, narcissism confidence. Or she may call things confidence that really aren't. Confidence just means the person is sure.
Let me cut in for a minute. This is really good dialogue. But me, I'm a person that it's almost like they used to say, like, if you from Missouri, like, Missouri is a show me state. What I mean by that is, okay, Sean, you married, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You married. All right. The other caller, I don't know your name. I don't know what to call.
Oh, Solution.
You.
How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing? What's your name?
Thank you.
You said Solution.
Solution. Okay. Mr. Solution.
Yeah. Solution. All right. Let me just interrupt one quick minute.
I like that. I like that, Mr. Solution.
I would also like for you, if you're able to come on my show as well. Wednesdays from 7 to 8, I would enjoy dialogue with you from 7
What's
to 8.
What's the name of it?
Same number. Let's talk about
the same number. Oh, sure. No problem.
Same number. Okay. Let's let the host get back to his point. Go ahead.
Mr. Solution, are you married?
Not at this juncture.
Have you ever
I would
been
like
married?
To be, though, let me just say, I would like to have a good, solid relationship.
Hold on one second.
Possibly
have
with a prenup.
No, I'm just asking.
Yes, I have.
Married?
Yes, I have.
Once or twice, three times?
Uno.
One time. Okay, I've
but I would like to be again. I mean, marriage is a good thing if one is with the right person. Probably need a prenup, though. I don't know if you want to get into that, but that would be a very, very important feature.
What did you say?
A prenuptial. I think I would demand a prenuptial.
No, look, why I'm asking you that is because, you speak, I mean, you speak good. You speak with intellect. So a lot of times when people speak like you speak, is because, like, knowledge is something gained from an actual experience. And it seemed like you got experience in, you know, what you're speaking on. So that's why I just asked you, was you married or have you been married or something like that? Because in order to speak like you're speaking in the present, you had to go through certain things in the past. And, I mean, I think you kind of, went through a couple of things to bring you to this point.
Absolutely. And listening to other guys. I listen. I'm talking to you guys now because that's necessary, but I listen to people a lot. I listen to their experiences also. Go ahead.
Listen. Well, that's also knowledge is to know, to listen, and to observe. So when you say you listen to a lot of guys, that's even more, that's knowledge. You know what I mean? So I kind of understand where you're coming from with that, because I listen to a lot of people, and I have learned from listening to a lot of people. You know, I don't really believe in love. Do you believe in love?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Love would be one of the, love would be one of the metaphysical, you know, I deal with science and metaphysics, and love would be one of the things that would be beyond the realm of science. Not that science couldn't identify certain behavior, but it can't really quantify love itself. Continue.
Yeah, I don't believe in love.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Somebody got a killer out. I don't believe in love, because, and this might sound a little, I don't know, foolish to other people, but I don't believe in love because everybody who ever told me they loved me hurt me. So,
right.
I can't, a lot of people tend to love and get brokenhearted and then love again and then get brokenhearted and then love again. See, I choose not to go through that.
Right.
I really don't like putting titles on things. At the age I'm at, I'm in my upper 50s, close to the 60s.
Yes.
So I call that the third quarter of life, because from 0 to 25, you're in the first quarter of your life. From 25 to 50, you're in the second quarter of your life. And from 50 to 75, you're in the third quarter. And, you know, 75 to 100, that's the fourth quarter. So I assume we all in the third quarter of life.
What?
I would like to believe that maybe one day in the future that I would be able to love again.
Right. But you said you don't believe in it.
Yeah, but I would hope that I would be able to one day again.
All right.
So it sounds like you're afraid of it. It sounds like you're afraid of love. It ain't the
love is healthy, by the way.
You're afraid of.
Right.
Love
is healthy, if I just may chime in. And I'm looking at, I'm in Merriam-Webster's lexicon here. It says love. All right. It's a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. Is that okay? I mean, do you? Here's another definition, which I like better: a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person.
You reading that?
Yeah. Well, I actually like the first one better.
I'm giving you a dictionary. I'm giving you a lexicon definition of with love. It's always good to have a definition of what one is speaking on.
Facts.
I mean, I guess it depends on where you're reading it from.
Well, I read out of two sources, dictionary.com and also Merriam-Webster's lexicon. But it's the same thing. It's a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person. Love is human beings are what you call naturally gregarious. That is, we're social by nature. And I like when you said you didn't believe in love, but then you said at a certain juncture, at some point in time, you hope that you do find love or that you can love again. So that's
true.
Understandable. I mean, love does make one vulnerable. There's no doubt about that. And that's the reason I brought in the notion of a prenuptial. It's just short for prenup. Getting involved with and I would be willing to sign a prenuptial too. I'm not saying wouldn't sign one. Are you there? So I'm fair.
Yeah, but what do a prenup got to do with love?
Prenup has a hell of a lot to do with love. Someone want to explain that?
A prenup got to do with money.
Well, basically, he just said that with love you become
one.
He said he
believed in love, but if he fell in love, he want a prenup.
Damn right. No, I said if I got married. No. I said if I got married, I would want to have a prenup.
Okay, if you got married, you want a prenup. So if according to whatever Webster's dictionary, whatever you was reading, right?
Yes.
If you fell in love with somebody before you married them, you still want a prenup.
Wait a minute.
Right?
If I fell in love with someone before I married them? No. Okay. I think
before you married him.
Go ahead.
I'm leading up to something.
Okay. Sure. Go ahead.
So, assume you fell in love with somebody and you was in love with them according to what's that book you was just reading about love? What's the name of it?
I didn't cite a book. Okay, you're talking about, I read a definition out of the dictionary. Just say the dictionary,
okay.
That's all.
The dictionary. Okay, you fell in love with somebody, you was in love with them, according, like what you said in the dictionary. But you even say more strongly that you want a prenup.
At marriage, yeah, before marrying someone, yes.
And I'm saying to you, if you love somebody,
right?
Why would you want a prenup? Why would you make
very good
money
question.
And love?
Okay, let me know because I don't want to talk over you.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. You go ahead.
All right. See, this is the thing. A lot of people are not cognizant of the entirety of their situation. Let me differentiate here. What they call bifurcate. When one gets married, automatically there is a prenuptial agreement. But that is the prenuptial agreement drawn up by the state. That means in order to get a dissolution of marriage, that is a divorce, one has to petition the state representative, i.e. the divorce court. And then the divorce court will divide up one's assets. So it's inherent in the marital contract, a prenuptial agreement. What I'm saying, and listen to me very carefully, what I'm saying is I would like to have a prenuptial agreement that will benefit me and will not subject me to the total rigors of the state system. Because when you get a marriage license, that is a contract. And that's a contract based on, you know, in most states, the Secretary of State or whatever equivalent department that issues business license, they issue marriage license. Marriage license, business license, they're all the same to the state. And so I'm just saying a man, if he is unaware, then maybe he just has to go through it in order to learn, you know?
Hold up. Mr.
But if he is aware, he will want a contract that benefits him and
hold
doesn't
on.
Just...
I don't mean to cut... Pardon me. I don't mean to cut you off, Mr. Lucian, but...
Hey,
go
ahead. That's okay.
So, Shadi, you said you was married, right?
Yeah.
And you got married because of love, right? Right?
B.O.,
you still out here?
Indeed.
You married, right?
Indeed.
And you got married because of love.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So for the two people out here who got married because of love, did you ever think about a prenup?
Yes
or no?
Well, you got it. You, huh?
No, yes
I mean,
no.
It's not a yes or no question if I'm bouncing it off from what the...
I mean, we don't know if Mr. Solution is a millionaire.
I mean, when I got married, when I got married, it was because I felt it was the right thing to do, and I don't believe, like, you don't believe in love. I don't believe in falling in love. I believe in learning to love. I believe falling in love is why people break up, is why people will need a prenup, because you fell in love with an image. You don't love who the person really is because you never learned to love them. You don't know them. You fell in love with what you wanted them to be or either what they showed you they was. So
if you was a millionaire, would you have thought of a prenup if you was a millionaire? With the woman
yeah,
you
of course
right
I
now.
Would have. Of course I would have. If
How
I,
about
if
you, B.O.?
A million, of course.
How about you, B.O.?
I can't say I wouldn't have, Jay.
So if you was a millionaire, you would have wanted a prenup.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
I would.
More than likely. More than likely. More than likely.
Then y'all can't be love.
Hey, this is Solution.
Well,
I would like to jump in at some point.
Go ahead, Mr. Solution. That can't be love.
Well, wait a minute, sir. Hold on a minute. Open your mind a little bit and just listen to this.
Before you say something. Let me say
one thing,
then I'm going to let you talk, Mr. Solution.
All right.
So all three of y'all is telling me, I know the other two very well. I grew up with them. So what I'm saying is, everybody fell in love with the intended that one day you might fall out of love, right? Because you want a prenup.
No. Let me jump in if you don't mind, sir.
Go ahead.
All right. When one purchases insurance, like if you purchase fire insurance on your property or if you purchase automobile insurance on your vehicle, it doesn't mean that you're going to go out there and deliberately get into an accident. That's not what you – no one really does that. But the insurance is in case something happens beyond your control. Now, see, you're saying you, referring to your friend, the other guys that are listening, but see, they don't know the heart of the other person, and people can change. And by the way, I think what you're overlooking, which is very, very important, when one signs a marriage license, and I'm just going to use a word here, you can look it up if you like. A marriage license is ipso facto a prenuptial agreement that assigns the authority for adjudicating a dissolution if one or both parties go to the, court. And say, I want a divorce. The other person doesn't have a choice. They have to go with the choice of the person who petitions the court. And so that prenuptial agreement, the marriage license, gives the court the authority to divide up the resources. Now, I hope you keep that in mind because you keep leaving that out. And one other thing, you keep talking about love. The issuing agency of the marriage license is not about love at all. It's a business relationship. The state sees a marriage as a business, and the dissolving of that business is called a divorce where they divide up the property. So I hope you can get these things. I understand what you're saying. I do. Believe me, I do. But you're not taking into the totality, you're not taking in, rather, the totality of the situation that is before us. Go ahead.
I mean, what's before you?
It's like I said, the marriage license is a prenuptial agreement. Did you know that?
I've been married twice and divorced twice.
Okay, but you're not answering my question. Could you please answer my question?
I didn't think of it like that.
But legally, that's what it is. It doesn't matter what you think of it. It's what it actually is. And I'm telling you, it is.
Okay, you telling me that a marriage license is a prenuptial agreement?
Absolutely, where it gives the court the complete authority to divide up your assets.
I mean, I agree.
All right, we learned something here today. I did too.
Yeah.
I'm learning too. This is a learning journey.
But it's almost like a conundrum to me, like, because
that's a good word. Yes, it is.
it's kind of confusing.
Well,
but,
okay, what's confusing about it? I think I can unwind this ball of yarn. What's confusing?
Because the way you came out here talking about a prenup, and I'm
mm-hmm.
sure all my listeners would agree, we probably assumed that you was talking like you was a millionaire or well off or owned businesses or houses and a lot of property and a lot of assets and, you know, was financially secure. You know, because you're talking about because most people who speak on prenup, like people where I'm from, we never even say the word prenup because it's no use to. Now I don't.
Wait, what?
Well, you got to think too. Jay. Most of us got married young too.
I got married young and old. I got married at 20, and then I got married at 48.
Right,
and
but what's the confusion? I want to tackle that while we have it hot as an issue. What's confusing? What's the conundrum?
Because because the way you set up, I'm telling you, the way you set up, you broke it down that a prenuptial agreement is actual a marriage license.
Yes, sir.
I kind of agree.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean you kind of agree? That's irrefutable.
You can't kind of agree.
So, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go on. Continue, please.
Hopes.
Right. Go ahead.
Roll with me here. When you was 40, you had three apartment buildings. Would you
mm-hmm.
have thought about a prenup? Or three properties? Would you have thought about a prenup?
No.
No?
No, because I would have been in love.
Okay. So your interpretation of love is what? What is your interpretation of love? Maybe that's why you don't want to love. You feel like love is what? What is it? What do you feel love is?
If I love you and you love me, everything that's mine is yours and everything that's yours is mine.
And it's supposed to stay that way forever.
I mean, that's what you say when you get married, to death do we part.
So that's how you look at it. I mean, the thing is, like you said, like I said earlier, how many times have you learned to love somebody versus fell in love with them? Do you understand what I mean with that?
I mean, that's like saying, how many times you wanted to have sex with somebody based on lust and a fat ass?
Okay, you can put it that way because now you're not looking at the qualities of the individual. You're looking at the outer part of the individual. And as years go by, that part can change. But that inner part is still going to be there, and it may even evolve to something
I don't
better.
Believe you. That's, I don't believe you in B.O. I don't believe you and B.O. would have asked for a prenup. I know y'all, and I know y'all wife, and I don't believe y'all would ask for no prenup.
Hey, you know what? We don't have to get hung up on the prenup, but look, a lot of people don't understand it, and there's nothing wrong with the person protecting themselves. It's just like I gave you two good examples. When one purchases a vehicle, you're going to get in a dangerous situation to where you are not in complete control, because you can be the greatest driver. But what if a drunk driver or a unattentive driver, you know, runs into you? You have damages. So you want to, one wants to indemnify them.
You can't do that. You can't do that, Mr.
Put it this way. Put it this way, Jim.
You can't put car insurance with love to human beings. You can't.
No, no, but see, we're not talking. Okay, see, we're not talking about love. Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. I'll let the other person go.
All right,
go ahead.
All right, listen. For me, I can understand what he's saying about a prenup and why he's saying it. I can understand that. And a prenup really has nothing to do with you loving somebody. It has more to do with being conscious, making a conscious decision that, okay, though we love each other, there's the possibility that this love can change. And when it changes, can we weather the storm? And if we can't weather the storm, I don't want to be left out in the cold because we can't weather the storm. Because I was in love.
But hold up. One sec. Hey, Mr. Solution.
Yes, sir.
My friend that's talking since we was 9 years old, we got 50 years of friendship.
He's making a lot of sense. He's making a lot of sense, by the way.
I know. So look, this just a little bit off, but one time I was dating this girl and she got arrested, and she was in jail, and I was sending her money and I was buying her stuff, and I don't know if you remember this, Sha. One day we was in the grocery store, and you said to me, how you know you ain't gonna regret all that stuff you doing for that girl in jail? And
yeah,
I was like, I was in love, and that's sort of like what I'm saying right now, like with the preamp, like. I'm like, if you love somebody, you don't want a prenup. You know what I mean? But
finish
it came
the story
back to
though.
Bite me. It came back to bite me in the end. I mean, you was right and I was wrong.
So that's the perfect segue to why I agree with getting the prenup. That's the perfect. because emotions love is an emotion. It's a feeling. That feeling changed. You want to be in a pretty decent space after that, if and when that feeling changed, and like you said, you live to regret it. You know what I mean? You live to regret it, and that's why I can understand why he's saying, you know, yeah, if you got some assets that you bring to the table that you don't want to lose, then of course get a prenup. Let me just say this.
Love is probably the most important human emotion. Probably it's an unconquerable overall, not in every individual instance, but it is absolutely fantastic. It's a wonderful thing. But one can't be blind and stupid under the rubric of love. See, under the banner of love, love is very intelligent, by the way. It is very tender. It's wonderful, but it's not stupid, and it's not blind. It shouldn't be blind. And so I think what the gentleman is doing, and hopefully he's learning from this, I think we all are, is that his definition of love may not be as practical in the real world in a lot of circumstances as he had previously concluded.
Well, it's many different planes of love, you know what I mean? Like many different planes of life. I mean, you know, things have its chambers and things change and grow. You know, just
breaking up.
Hey, I would like to raise one of these other issues, and we could come back to this if you want. I don't want to get, but I brought up the issue of prenup, but I think it's very important because a lot of people don't understand a prenup and its different manifestations. See, that's the thing with Mr. I'm sorry, sir, I didn't get your name. What's your name?
Me, Jay Sean.
I'm sorry, both of you spoke at the same time.
Oh, I'm the host. My name is Jay Sean.
And you were the ones that was talking about a prenup is somehow overshadowed by love.
I was the one that was talking about I don't see how they mix.
Oh, right, right. And they don't necessarily. They don't necessarily mix. But see, as I said a moment ago, and I'll keep emphasizing this, is that you didn't know that the marriage license was a prenuptial agreement, right? You weren't aware of that. Okay, but now that you understand, you signed a pre, and you were married twice, you said, correct?
Right, right.
Okay, so you signed a prenup twice. The only difference is that prenup did not give you control. It gave someone else control. So you do believe in a prenup. You just don't believe in one where you have control over it. So a prenup was always present. You just didn't realize it. Do you get that?
Yeah, of course. I guess so.
Okay. All right. And you know, you can check this out. You can go and look up the agency that issues marriage license, the state agency, and see if that agency doesn't also issue business license.
But I have to be honest. I have to be honest with you.
Okay.
I bet you could ask everybody on this show or people walking down the street. I don't know how many people would agree with you that a marriage license is a prenuptial agreement. Because what we know that a prenuptial agreement is a marriage license is a license for two people to get married. A prenuptial agreement is something where you saying that's something different, where you saying that all your assets that you accumulated before you was married is yours, or all the stuff that your mate, your spouse accumulated before you came into the marriage is still hers. I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, that you said a marriage license is a prenuptial agreement. I guess that's like a technicality.
No. Let me prove it to you. I can prove it to you real quickly. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
All right. All you need to do is go to your state code and look up divorce. Look up marital dissolution. And then you'll see the steps that marriage license links directly to all those features or statutes regarding the dissolution of, in other words, how the marriage is to be dissolved. And you made the point. Now, when a lot of people, when they get married early, it's true, they don't have anything. But men are particularly being advised, if they have a professional degree or if they have a business or whatever, when they get married, they need to protect that. They need really to protect it from the state. It's not so much from the woman, although the woman can be the trigger. She can be the conduit. He's not the real enemy. Real enemy is the state. And see, lawyers make a lot of money. They like to drag a divorce out. Okay. I'm not saying this to be a killjoy or anything like that. I'm just saying a lot of men are lulled into being stupid when it comes to love, right? And a lot of people know that. They know that we're stupid. And it's part of our goodness, but I'm just saying, don't be naive. It's one of the ways that you can check this out. Go to your state. They have a specific laws regarding a divorce. And a divorce can only occur if one signs a marriage license. That marriage license is an agreement to be divorced according to the dictates of the state. It gives a judge jurisdiction over you. Jurisdiction means authority. So that means your assets are now in the hands of the court, not you.
Are you in your 50s?
Well, I'm over 45. Let's put it that way. And I'm very healthy. I'm vigorous. I'm vibrant. I'm everything I need to be. What's your point?
But you single. That's my point.
I'm sorry, what?
You single.
Right now, yeah, right now, sure.
You know who you remind me of?
Okay, go ahead. I don't know who I remind you of.
Samuel, what's his name on YouTube? He passed away not too long ago. Was it Samuel Scott?
Mr. Samuels, Kevin Samuels, no, he was one of the most brilliant discussers and counselors on relationships that I've ever heard. He really, and one of the things that made him so popular, believe it or not, is that he dealt with the female side. When he was dealing with the male side, dealing with men and what men should do, there was hardly a whisper. But then when he started dealing with women, particularly holding women accountable, all hell broke loose. Now, I think we all benefited from it because this guy was known internationally in less than 2 years. I mean, that's how I would say motivational or how cataclysmic his abilities were. He had super abilities as a counselor and good insight. And two of the things that he used, if I just may enhance upon it, he used marriage, which is very important, and he used the high-value man. And the high-value man, I like the way he said it, is connected to a certain amount of money or annual income. Go ahead.
No, yeah. I was a fan of Mr. Samuel. So that's like a compliment.
Absolutely. He was the best at it. I used to listen to Tom Likas. Very few men have the balls, because they're scared, to talk about women openly, and especially some of the issues like we've been talking about today. When I said, like when I reversed it, all I did was a simple reversal. I said these women could be cheaters, and I'm sure these women have cheated. The evidence proves that women cheat. They're not just victims. The other thing is women make bad choices in men. And if they make bad choices in men, partly it's because the society never holds them accountable. So they can pick the worst kind of man and expect this man to be fantastic. And so that's our fault. That's men's and women's fault that we don't give women the truth. The truth is very important. It's an energy. The truth has a lot of power. And so we should really focus on, first of all, ascertaining the truth and then appropriately disseminating the truth. And I'm not saying this at all, and hopefully I shouldn't even have to say this, this is not hurtful to, it shouldn't be hurt, telling the truth shouldn't be hurtful toward anybody. I always want to hear the truth. Yeah, I want to hear the truth because it helps me. And what you were saying before, the host, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. I don't remember it.
Jay.
What you were saying before, I don't care about the paucity or the fewness of people who know something. All I want to know is it accurate and is it applicable to me? At one time, I didn't know what I'm telling you. I didn't know that a marriage license was a prenuptial agreement until I started doing the research to discern that. And
well,
as long as you keep men
stupid,
I'm
glad I know that now.
Yeah, but let me say this, and then I
want
to hear what you have to say. As long as you keep men stupid, they're easily fleeced. Stupid men are easy to fleece. Go ahead.
Right. Mrs. Roos, we only got 1 minute left. They're going to cut us off in 1 minute. Look, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Like we hear each and every Friday. Don't forget Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. My man Shadi got his own podcast called Let's Talk About It. At 7 o'clock, you call the same phone number. Let's Talk About It at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. And I'm here every Friday at 8 o'clock. This has totally been a difference from how I thought this show was going to go completely different, but I mean, that's how life is. It's universal and it's all positive. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and they're going to cut us off in a minute because we done went to the 3-hour limit. So I'll see you the same time next week.
All right, thank you guys. Good conversation. Have a good evening.
Yes. All right, Mr.
All right, you too. Hopefully hear from you Wednesday.
Peace.
Wednesday, dude. Peace.
All right, peace.
Yeah, we'll be back.